I want to welcome Kimber Walton. She is visiting with us from the Eugene Mission, and she's going to be sharing with us this morning during the sermon time. She is the Women's Life Change Manager at the Eugene Mission, and I'm excited to hear what you have to share with us this morning. And so please introduce yourself to her afterwards, and Kim, you're welcome to stay for ice cream if you like. It might be a hard sell, but, you know, ice cream is good stuff.
So good morning. My name is Kimber, and I am super excited to be here, and I'm even more excited to tell you guys about the great thing that God is doing through the Eugene Mission. And first, I want to start off in prayer, and I also want to just thank you guys, because when I came in, I met many of you. I felt welcomed immediately in this church, and that's something that the connection of each other, I think, is what makes followers of Jesus so critical to each other, is the fact that we could come together and love each other. And so I felt love when I walked in, so I just want to thank you guys for that. So, dear Heavenly Father God, we just thank you, God, for just your promises, God. We thank you for just everything, God, that you are doing in us and through us, God. Lord, I just ask that you would fall upon me, God, your spirit, God, and just help me through this service day, God. Let me speak clearly, God, and just let everybody here, God, just receive what it is that you want them to hear. So we love you, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I am the program, I'm the program manager for the Women's Life Change Program at the UG Mission. But above all, I am a grateful believer in Jesus. The mission recognized that the path from homelessness to wholeness required long-term commitment, relational support, and progressive care. Guests begin their journey in the rescue shelter where they can stabilize, rest, and work with a mission navigator that will direct them to one of two programs after the 14 days that they're able to be there and decide which program that they want to go into. So one of the programs that they can go into is the R-Cubed program, which is the R-Cubed. It stands for Rescue, Revitalize, and Restore. That program has staff navigators who provide direct support to guests. Life skills that provide vocational training, and classes and activities that are led by the employees, by the staff, but also by volunteers. And the volunteers at the mission are a crucial part of the guest. It's a crucial part of their life is to have the volunteers that come in and work individually and side by side with them. So they're vital to the success of the clients. And so because people in R-Cubed work at a different speed, a lot of times we have a lot of different groups of people that come into the mission, as far as there's people that come in with disabilities, there's people that come in that are elderly. So not everybody that comes into the mission is able to go out and look for work. And so the mission recognizes that it's also important that these people in our community don't get left behind. So in the R3 program, they have a three different peers that they use. The first one is the first 30 days that you're in the mission in the R-Cubed program, you are learning. You have a staff support, you get a life skill, and then also you get a class schedule. So the first 31 to 90 days then, hold on. My papers aren't in order. I know less about the R-Cubed program because I work for the Life Change program, so a lot of this I had to take off, and but I should have had my papers in order. Sorry. Okay, so I think I lost a page. So I'm just going to go off. So 31 to 90 days, the clients are working on their goals. They continue to work with their navigator or staff support in their class schedules and also their life skills. Next stage, there's three. They will be working on looking for either employment, if that's where they're able to go, or they will be working on getting life skills, or they'll be working on beating the barriers that have kept them from moving forward and being in homelessness in the first place. So it allows them to have a kind of like a life coach that actually will go out and or there on campus that will guide them in getting into housing, so which is a big part of the problem in our community. I mean, housing is super expensive right now, and it's hard to navigate and try and be housed when you're already unhoused. So anyways, and the second program that you can go into is the Women's Life Change Program, which is, I'm going to look for my paper really quick because I'm really sorry, you guys. I'm going to blame it on my printer. It's not me. Okay, never mind. It's two-sided. Okay, so here we go. So the Life Change Program is an 18-month faith-based relapse recovery program. It's kind of what we would say is that we've got the R-cubed, which is more like a outpatient, even though they live on campus. The Mission Life Change Program is the in-treatment part of what's offered at the UG Mission. We use the biblical and the clinical side of recovery through Bible classes, Celebrate Recovery, AA, nutrition, and then the Genesis process by Michael Dye. And then the guests are also required to go to one outside meeting or two outside meetings, Celebrate Recovery. They can do Bible studies outside of the mission as well as church every week. This is to help them develop a accountability team. And just like we read earlier in Luke, even Jesus had an accountability team with his disciples. So what we see is that clients, after they're there 4 months to 6 months, and they've been working on their recovery, addiction part of it, that what we see after that is that then the guests are more like us. And so the addiction part is gone. They learn that's a way, but now they get to learn how to deal with the same kind of life troubles that we all have. I mean, we all have character defects, and that's a lot of times those character defects or broken paths, whatever it is, they're able through AA, they're able to, and the 12 step, the AA class, they work through PAWS, which is post-acute withdrawal syndrome. They learn how to recognize behaviors that they had during their addiction that they don't want to carry on to carry into their life going on. And at CR, they learn how to take their hurts, habits, and hang-ups, and they learn how to give those to Jesus and learn what their identity in Christ is and leave that old identity in the past. So the mission is changing lives. There is a statistic that the UG Mission or Oregon has, like, I think it's number one or number two in addiction right now. There's deaths every day on our streets, and we are 50th in the nation for recovery programs. So that is that's a problem. And so I would like to take a minute to share how the mission directly changed my life. But before I do that, I just want to ask how many of you are in here. Now I did mess up my papers looking for them, so at least I know I have them. So. If you guys wouldn't have been so nice when I came, I'd be really worried right now. sorry. So how many of you are waiting for God to answer a prayer? Right? Or is there anyone in here who feel like you've slipped through the cracks and that God can't see you, or and you doubt that maybe even his promises for you are going to come true? Or have you been given a promise and so much time has passed that you think it'll never be answered? So I remember like it was yesterday, the promise that God gave me for my children. They were adults then, 18, 25, and 27. Does anyone have children that they took a path that didn't exactly line up for the dreams that you had for them? And for myself, from 2008 to 2016, I made some really bad choices myself. And I found myself hopeless, and at 44, decided to go into the Women's Life Change Program at the Eugene Mission. I had no expectations other than to be sober. And it was in this program that I was introduced to Jesus. And 6 weeks into the program, I was baptized. So I surrendered myself to this program, and very quickly, the Bible, God was speaking to me through scriptures. And one verse in particular that I read, the words literally jumped off the page. And it was in the New King James Version. Obviously, I was new. I didn't know that was a harder one to read. It still spoke to me. It said, "Thine eyes did see my substance. Yet being unperfect," which that was the word that caught my eye, "in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." When I read unperfect, I pictured myself and my children, and I felt God saying, you have been unperfect, because unperfect, it was exactly how I felt, but I love you anyways. And in my book, you and your members, which I pictured my children, are written before they were even born. Now, to me, that's a big deal, because since I have met Jesus and the only desire of my heart is for my children, who are now 25, 32, and 34, to know Jesus. And that prayer to me meant that at some point that they come to Christ. And so that interpretation might be wrong, I'm not sure, but to me that is exactly what it meant, and I have held on to that promise for the last 7 years. And I am at a place still where I feel, with the lifestyle that they have, God, are you ever going to answer? I mean, is that promise truly for me? Like, can you really make that happen? Because it's hard when I look and see the choices that they make. So we have great stories in the Bible of promises that God has given his people. And God has given, he gave many promises to Abraham. We've got to hear twice of, thank you for the Sunday school reading with the children, because that's actually where I learned how to, the parables was in Sunday school as a 45-year-old. So, but that interpretation of, but God has made, we have great examples though of Abraham, waiting, in the process of waiting, doubting, and even not believing, that the promises that God was giving him could come true. So we start the, journey on, 12:1. Through 7, and we walk through that promise of fulfillment. And I'm going to read this one more time. And it says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. All in your families of the earth will be blessed." So Abram went away as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Hold on. So I had the wrong page. So I give you this land. So we built an altar there to the Lord. So this is telling us, we know a couple of things right then at, we know a couple of things. Number one is that Abraham or Abram then listens to God. Like God said, move, and he moved. We also know that Abraham took his wife Sarah and his nephew Lot. And we learned the chapter before that Sarai is unable to conceive, from the chapter before, and that she's beyond her childbearing years. So we also hear that Abraham being 75 when the journey begins, and later in the story it tells us that Sarai is about 10 years younger than him. So when we think of the promises that God gave to Abraham and think about their age, no wonder Abram had no faith. Like, he had faith, it says, but he had a doubt that the promise would come true. So they go to Canaan, and then shortly after they're there, there's a famine. And in this famine, Abraham leads his family south. And this is where I think that we can kind of relate to Abraham a lot in this, is because even though that God knows that the promises that God has given him, he has faith that they're going to come true, we see where Abraham kind of sticks his hand in to try and make sure that he gets his family safely through Egypt. One way in this is that his wife, Sarah, says she was beautiful. And so he says, tell them you're my sister so they don't kill me. So not too much trust there going on in God. And it doesn't work out too well. The Pharaoh finds out, and he kicks them out of Egypt. And so Abraham, Sarah, and Lot leave Egypt. They've gained a lot of possessions. And so, one second. And they settle and decide to separate so that they can have enough room. Lot goes to the plains of Jordan, and Abraham moves his camp to Hebron. Now, actually, Abraham's name is still Abram at this point, but God tells Abram in a dream that he will protect him and his reward will be great. And Abraham has to be thinking, and it shows where Abraham is at with this promise. He's like, God, you've given me all of this stuff, and your promises are great, but I have no children, so I have all of this stuff, but yet I don't have any children or descendants to take this. So he says, "O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son?" And Abraham began, being at his ripe age, questioning that, God reveals to Abraham, look up to the stars and count the stars if you can. And I thought it was interesting when it says if you can, because I don't know if God's again trying to may let us know how old Abraham is. He may not even be able to see how many stars are up there. So if you can, whatever that means, that's how many descendants you will have. So Abraham, it says that he does believe in the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. So what do we do whenever we know God has a plan for us, but yet we don't know how he's going to carry that out? Us as humans tend to look at, okay, well, how can we make this happen? So again, Sarah this time, not being able to conceive, told Abraham to take her servant to have a child. So obviously, this was their way of thinking that God was going to make this happen. So he said yes, and Abraham, like Abraham, that promise must have seemed impossible, the fact that he said yes to Hagar, the maidservant. So once again, you can see that there's a pattern that when God gives us things and promises that, you know, even in the old days, I mean, Abraham, God was right with him, and still Abraham was believing that he had to help him to make his plan come true or to happen. So has anybody ever taken a situation that out of God's hands that you think you could do better? So I know I have. So Abraham has a son, Ishmael, from Hagar, the maidservant, and Abraham is visited then by three men, and the Lord tells Abraham that he is going to, that Sarah is going to become pregnant. And Abraham's response is, shall a man at 100 have a child? And Sarah overhears this, and Sarah laughs. And Abraham realizes then, I think, the mess that he has caused, because he asked God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. So he's worried for now this other son that he has, because he's made a mess of his life. But we can learn from this story that God will accomplish his promises regardless of how hard and how complicated we try to make things. So God promised to make descendants through all and to all nations through Abraham, and he did just that, all pointing to Jesus. So what is God promising that you feel is impossible? Because if God can take a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman and give us Jesus, he can do anything. We have a mighty God. So even if you feel like you've messed up everything, don't give up on the faith that God's got, and he will accomplish through you what he wants to do. And I can relate to that with my own kids. So I was in the Life Change program 7 years ago, and what mountains did God move in my life? I'd stuck my hand and made a big mess of it. And when I say these things, I am not bragging about myself at all. I want to set that clear, because I am boasting in what the Lord has done in me. Someone like me who had lost everything and ended up at the Eugene Mission, just like the hundreds of guests that we serve every day. When I got out of the Life Change program, I went to work, and my heart was drawn to go back out and share with anybody who would listen to me about what Jesus did in my life. I wanted everyone to know that they didn't have to stay broken and alone, that we had a God that loved them, and Jesus was ready to meet them where they were at, and I would refer them to the Life Change program. I think I probably even told my mom, my sister, everybody I knew I felt should go through the Life Change program, because it's a chance to truly be able to recognize and see transformation that God does in our lives, that it was something that I never expected. I went into the program to get sober, and instead I met Jesus. So when COVID happened in 2019, we took a team under the bridge, and we did church under the bridge for 2 years, sharing Jesus, bringing people from Life Change, Adult Teen Challenge, anyone that we knew that had a testimony to share with the people that were under the bridge, to give them hope. That ministry was out there for 2 years, and then that is where I felt my call to ministry. I have today my third year district license, and I'm the outreach pastor at City First Church in Eugene. I don't preach. I like to say I'm a minister of hope, because that's my heart, is reaching the lost and broken. So, and when the Woman's Life Change started in 2021, I got the job at the program as a program manager for the same program that saved my life 7 years before. That's only God that can do that. And I get to see miracles happen every day. And I get to lead the women two other staff members. We get to lead the women the same way that I was led, and that is in love. So I got out of God's way, like the guests that are at the Eugene Mission are doing. They admit that they need help, allowing God to partner with them. By doing that, they're allowing God to fulfill the promises that he's given to them. And the RQ program doesn't necessarily have the faith-based aspect of it, but we know that God is working at the UG Mission, so they don't have to know that. He does. So, we're equipping them with prayer and love and support for their for a full future. So I believe in the work that God is doing at the UG Mission. It is true life transformations. And I am going to read you a sneak peek quote from the newsletter that's coming out in October. So this has not even gone to press yet. So Ms. Kelly is our communications at the UD Mission, and so she sent me this, and I asked before I used it. So this is from a lady that's in the Women's Life Change Program, and it says, women's life change guests are sharing their stories. Reality is getting pregnant at a young age and becoming homeless, being abandoned by your family and becoming addicted to drugs, being diagnosed with mental illness and overdosing on drugs. How do I know this is reality? It was mine. Women's Life Change participants at the UG Mission have been sharing their truth versus reality. The women began describing the difficult realities that brought them to the UG Mission, but that is not where their stories end. So after each guest shares their version of pain and brokenness, they speak out one by one their truth. The truth is, I am a child of God. I've been redeemed. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. I am victorious. Amen. So people come to the mission on a dead-end road, hopeless, and leave the mission with their whole lives in front of them, filled with hope. And we could not do this without the support and partnership from people in the community. When you partner with the UG Mission, you partner with God. So, and I want to thank you for having me here today. Thank you. And